Sponsored by vivagreen-greensacks.com, compostable bags for home and garden.
103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Sod Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM. And what a wonderful day it is to be in Dublin. We're with you until 3:30 and it's gardening, landscaping all the way. Brought to you in association with Greensacks compostable bags for home and garden. You can check out Greensacks on the internet at viva-greensacks.com. You can check them out in the supermarket where you can drop Greensacks into your shopping trolley. Our thanks to the lads in Greensacks for their continued support. Coming up on today's programme, Peter Donegan, our executive producer, will be talking to Andrew Wilson. Andrew Wilson. Now, when we interview somebody on The Sod Show who has their own Wikipedia page and entry, you know it's going to be a good interview. We spoke with Andrew back in 2013 and we catch up again with him as he is judging at the Bloom in the Park Festival. So stay tuned. That's coming up in a few moments' time. Well, more than a few moments' time. Because in a break from tradition and a break from the old routine, I'm going to play Song of the Week right now. So get in the mood for the interview. Have a listen to this week's Song of the Week. There'll be puns intended, but they won't become apparent until you hear the interview. This is David Essex, Silver Dream Machine. And if you're listening in podcast land, apologies, you didn't get that song. But if you want to tune in, we're at 103.2, 3 p.m. every Friday, and we're streaming online worldwide as well. It's time to go to Interview of the Week, and what an interview it is. Let's say hello, Peter Donegan.
It's a Friday afternoon, and you wouldn't believe it if I told you the rock star, yeah, he's up there with Ronnie Wood and the rest of that crew, Andrew Wilson. And last time we were talking, just as a by the way, was approximately about a year ago? 2 years ago, my apologies, and we did a two-parter. So if you're listening to this in podcast, do listen away. Don't pause like I sometimes tell you to do. But when you're finished, go backtrack and find the last two in iTunes, and they're up on sideshow.com or at sideshow on Twitter if you want the links, and we'll give them to you. And it's the interview, my apologies, that I did with Andrew just after his Chelsea Garden in what would have been 2013, if I'm correct. Andrew, the easiest question is, welcome back to Ireland, I suppose, first of all. And second of all, how are you getting on? How are you doing?
Well, it's great to be back in Ireland, and I'm doing okay, really. Recovering from Chelsea, it's kind of hard, especially as you get older. And then coming into Bloom, a different kind of concentration. But hey, the sun's shining and the show looks great and it's nice to be here.
You've a very kind of relaxed momentum about you to the exterior, if you don't mind me saying. I'm not too sure about the interior. And it was a question and a conversation that came up quite recently with a friend of mine where those who are a little bit creative, if you don't mind me saying this in advance, I'm apologising in advance, I'm also semi-referring to myself, but I don't want to pay myself too great that a compliment and compare myself to Andrew, but that usually the creatives are kind of missing a chip somewhere else or an imbalance. Do you find that with yourself?
No, I don't think so. I am fairly calm, fairly relaxed. There are times when you just completely act like a volcano and everything kind of blows off at once. And, you know, things like getting into a Chelsea build and suddenly finding that something isn't happening the way you want it to and trying to deal with the kind of normal facts of life. I kind of run three careers in a way. Most of the time it all works and then suddenly there's something that just maybe splits out or falls out of line. And a little bit of stress then, that's when you get the old legs kicking, that sort of swan analogy where the swan looks kind of calm and floating on the surface with elegance and underneath is paddling like mad. That is kind of me sometimes.
Do you struggle with the creative side of it? And that's not to say, do you struggle to create a garden or complete design? But do you end up maybe at 4 o'clock and there are babies wailing in the background? Because that's how the sideshow rolls. It's real radio, yeah. This would never happen on the BBC Gardeners Question Time, and that's a compliment to them. But back to it. Do you struggle with that? Do you end up walking a garden at 4 o'clock in the morning, saying, scratching your head, saying that versus that, that versus that, that versus that? I need to have a cup of tea. I can't cope with this. I need to go to the beach, go in the car, drive off for a drive, and come back. And your good lady or partner says, "How are you?" And you go, "I'm fine. It's been, I've remedied it in my head." Do you have that?
Yeah, I do. I do have that. There are times when, you know, I wake up at 3 a.m. and I suddenly think, okay, that's wrong. We need to do something about that. And I think of that not as a panic moment, but as just a moment of reflection. And strangely, the other time that sort of happens is when I'm on my motorbike. And I guess that's because I'm just on my own. I'm in my crash helmet zone. And yes, I'm driving and paying attention, but I think also your brain's working in other departments and, you know, suddenly you think that's the way we're going to do it. It's that kind of bubbling up of information or a kind of reflective moment. And I think all creatives and all designers need that and should encourage that in themselves because otherwise I think partly the fun goes out of it more than anything. But those little moments where you suddenly have an insight are the moments to grab, I think. And that's how I sort of deal with it.
You've done Chelsea 2015, you did 14, you did 13. You leave Chelsea, which is essentially the build, never mind the design and the figuring all of that bit out and the walking around the garden at 3 o'clock in the morning, so to speak. But you have, let's call it a 3-4 week build. So the month of May is gone, essentially, and then you end up June bank holiday weekend in Dublin. We won't mention the black point with the white head on top, and we'll put that to one side for the minute. But essentially, you've got non-stop, no family visits for about 5-6 weeks solid, I would guess. Two questions. Does the brain switch off, and why do you keep on going back for more?
No, the brain doesn't switch off. I kind of like doing different things. So when I trained as a landscape architect, my first job was working in the British Rail Architects Department, and there were lots of different groups within that office, all of whom had the same seniority, and only one landscape architect, and that was me. And so you learned to juggle and you learned to prioritise maybe those people who shouted loudest. But the whole of that sort of process was a kind of juggling process. And I guess that's how my life is. You know, I'm juggling one thing over another. I'm maybe concentrating on something when I should be concentrating on something else. And in some ways it's a bit of a mayhem situation, but I kind of like it. And somewhere in that complexity, I find some kind of peace and joy in a way. I wouldn't have it any other way, I don't think.
Your last garden at Chelsea received silver gilt. I won't ask you to say the words, but I was heckling from my settee. I was the armchair football manager telling Piers Morgan to stay stum whilst Arsenal were taking a good hiding and hopefully lifting the FA Cup at the same time. You know, there was an element of that about me, which to be fair is allowed in a sense as a viewer or as a visitor who's paid in the door. And again, if you're in my field, pardon the cliched pun, or in your field, I think you're allowed to say, well, I think that should have got more, or equally, I think it should have got less, or I think they should have done that way and that way. That's what it's all about, and that's what makes it such a talking point. For those who aren't aware and who haven't listened to last year's podcast, or sorry, 2013's, Andrew would have judged two of my gardens at bloom in the past and hopefully again in the future. How do you feel about the garden in hindsight now, and it's not that long ago, so to speak?
I think the team and me personally kind of held the view that it was a gold medal garden. And as we stand at the moment, I still think that. It's kind of odd being a judge. You know, here I'm judging and assessing and being able to view a garden and set a medal. And I think, I'd like to think that I can do that about my own work and be objective about it. And I would have assessed that garden as a gold. That's not showing off. But many other people were rooting for it being a gold as well, and there was some surprise that it wasn't. As we stand at the moment, I haven't had feedback properly on the garden, so I can't tell you where it was kind of marked down or what views the various assessors and judges had. But the response to the garden was tremendous, and our client far exceeded the sort of money raising target that he had. It's quite a dramatic fundraising event, and so in lots of levels, in lots of ways, the garden is really successful. I think we'll live on. It is going to be completely rebuilt and replanted at Wellington College in Berkshire. And so it's got a sort of permanent future, and that's a kind of nice delivery from it as well. So, you know, lots of good things to come out of it. And in some ways, the medal is a kind of side issue in a sense.
Well, for me, the medal was, I think once you have one medal, I think the medal then afterwards for me kind of, they don't matter as much. But I am very, very proud still of what some had called, a silly garden in my case, ending up as probably the greatest music festival that Ireland has to offer. And it was the fact that it found a home where you start to double doubt yourself and you start to query. And again, don't get me wrong, we're on totally different levels. Just to show you how vast a level of difference that we are on. Your last garden in Chelsea in 2014 received?
A silver gilt.
Your one before that in Chelsea received?
A silver gilt.
Okay. So we're at that level. Can you just explain this to me, Andrew? Because you've done the judging and you do the building, and you've done it in Chelsea, and you've judged in Dublin, and you've judged in London, and you've built in London. How? And Singapore. My apologies. Wowee. You got Andrew just said he got gold and best in show in Singapore. What makes a gold medal garden, and what makes a bronze? What makes a garden not get medal? What's the difference between gold and silver gilt? And how fine a point are you talking between silver gilt and gold?
I think sometimes those differences can be really quite small. And judgments are much closer than people imagine. Sometimes you have a runaway gold, and it just kind of obviously oozes quality or atmosphere. And a garden, a show garden especially, is not just an accumulation of materials and plants, but somehow a composition that can be poetic or visually stimulating, exciting, as well as having a sort of quality of build or a quality of planting. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's gleaming and contemporary and new and high fashion. There is a garden here which is dedicated to Yeats and Innisfree, and it has a kind of rundown charm and a sort of rustic quality that is really very beguiling. And, sometimes it can be those gardens that are quite disarming in a way. They kind of speak to you have a kind of compositional quality that just says that, this is a successful submission and a successful endeavour. By the time you're at bronze, then, potentially materials aren't working the way they should. Plants are maybe thinner or smaller or not densely planted to give the effect of a garden, and if you put a bronze and a gold medal garden together, you would see quite a wide difference in quality. Put a silver gilt and a gold together, and some people would debate that for days.
I've tried to explain medal judging to people who are not in the horticultural industry, and I think the easiest way I could explain it in a sense was, and this is in its simplistic form, so I'll say it in one way, you might say it differently. This isn't all-encompassing, by the way. This is, you know, what colour is orange when a three-year-old is asking you. That's level and playing this or not. But I kind of said, listen, if you took a photograph of a patch of grass and said, I was inspired by that 1 square metre in Wimbledon and replaced it in a show garden, in theory... And this is only in theory in my imagination, it would have to get gold because it looks like it smells like it must be it. In theory, obviously it hasn't. It won't get accepted into show gardens full stop. It might do, but it probably won't. But in theory, if one built that one patch of grass, one should in theory get gold. Is that a fair way to describe it? Where, let's say, on the other hand, if I turn around and say, well, I'm inspired by, you know, Led Zeppelin singing Gallows Pole, and you could then maybe turn around and say, well, you're not inspired enough, or it's not 1972 enough, or it's not 1973 enough, depending on. Would that be a fair, very simplistic and incorrect way to describe how gardens are judged?
I think it goes some other way. Garden exhibitor here has to write a brief and to explain to us as a judging panel why that garden has been conceived, how it's been conceived, what potential message or narrative there is in that garden, what they're trying to do, why they've chosen certain materials and certain plant combinations. And then we as judges have to sort of say, well, have they done that? Have they achieved that? You know, a gold says, yes, you have achieved that in probably great measure. Silver gilt says, mainly achieved. But there are things that could be improved to take you further, to develop the ideas and the sense of place, perhaps. Silver says, good try, and some good things in it, but... you know, much more work needed, or maybe a rethink of some of the main concepts. Bronze is saying, well, you know, you're potentially on the right track, but we need much more work, much more consideration, maybe different choices of materials or plants. And so, you know, they each have their kind of levels, but it's the brief that holds it all together. And what you have to be able to say is, can I achieve... what I'm saying in my brief. If I'm saying I am achieving the perfect garden, then you're in trouble, because, you know, what is the perfect garden? And for five judges, or, you know, 100,000 people who come to Bloom, there may be 107,000 different ideas as to what that perfect garden is. On the other hand, if you say this garden is about the perfection of a square meter of Wimbledon turf, and I'm going to sort of showcase this hallowed ground, then potentially that would work as a concept garden, for instance. You know, nobody's going to use that garden in the same way, but you could write a brief that delivers you a good medal, potentially a gold medal, for a square metre of Wimbledon turf.
Boom. There you go. I've figured out the master plan. I'm going to rewrite Monty Python. The meaning of life has been explained. It's all over, folks. The Big Bang Theory. Singapore. We're sidetracking back to real world and out of my funny head. What was Singapore? Number one, number two. I've built gardens in Dublin. I've done them in further away places, Donegal, Galway, and to bring an entire garden to another part of the country. Is one thing when you live in this country, to travel to a country that is, you know, if you forget the 3-pin plug or the travel adapter, you're a little bit screwed, would be maybe the French word, or I'm not too sure what the French word is for that. But how does that work? And I double underline this bit, when you achieve gold medal, that means that brush, and I know in my own toolbox at home, that wee little brush that does that thing that I like to do to use to get that done. If you've forgotten it, you know, what do you can't get a post-it across, or I'm sure you can, unless you know a kind of a pigeon owner or something. How does it, was it a challenge? Did you do it because it was a challenge?
Well, first of all, we did it because it was a challenge and it was something exciting and a bit of an adventure. But you're invited, firstly, to the show, and it's Singapore's version of Chelsea. So it's an international show. There are designers from America, Ireland, New Zealand, Singapore itself, the UK. And you're invited because of successes elsewhere, if you like. We created a garden called Sacred Grove, which was a double height garden. So there was a lower courtyard space and then a roof, green roof, planted roof with trees and so on. And basically you are allotted a contractor. They pull a contractor's name out of the hat alongside you. So you have no say in who you're working with, and that's interesting. You could get a fantastic contractor. You could get a contractor who's, you know, it's their first chance to sort of build a show garden. You go out in February. We went out in, by we, that's Gavin McWilliam, my design partner, and I went out to Singapore in February 2014. And you do a recce. The whole thing is in Gardens by the Bay, in right on the seafront at in Singapore. And then you meet your contractor and decide how you're going to go about it. They get on with the build and sorting out the planting, and then you go out for 2 weeks to actually deliver it. 32 degrees of heat every day, complete torrential monsoon rains. So, you know, quite an interesting environment. And also it's viewed mainly after dark because Singapore's sort of social life begins at about 6:30 in the evening, by which time it's dark. So, you know, it's quite a different event to a Chelsea or a Bloom or, you know, any of those shows that we know here.
That's like one of those chick flick things with the 51st dates, or I don't know what chick flicks. I'm just picking out random titles that I might have seen adverts for, and the first date is it's I don't know who's very good looking. It's your wife, you know, or it's Gavin, or it's somebody who you know is a legend and a genius, and they're ultimately superlative, genius, gorgeous looking in every sense of the world, or it's the oh my effing God, what I've got to stay here for another 2 weeks, because I would gather by just people being people, never mind people being gardens, for which that can be a hot potato, if you don't mind me saying. In a sense, was there ever potential for it to be the funny chick flick and not the nice one that worked out as gold? I know that's really bad and I apologise for that, Andrew.
No, it's interesting. We had a great contractor, Evershine, and had a great time, and a lot of the garden was prefabricated. They have their own nursery, so we could control the plant material. But Adam Frost, who's a great friend and an exhibitor at Chelsea, went out, and his contractor didn't turn up for the first 3 days. So on the one hand, you know, people are kind of, you know, madly getting on in the time frame. And on the other, sort of Adam was wandering around, you know, just desperately trying to find somebody who might actually build his garden. So there is a real luck of the draw kind of situation. And in some ways it makes it kind of fun, but maybe it's only fun if you've got the good contractor. You know, if you're on the backing the loser, then it's not much fun. And it's hot, and I think Adam came back with dengue fever as well afterwards, so it wasn't a great show for him. But from our point of view, it was fab, and it kind of puts you much more onto an international stage as well.
Oh, wow. It's a finer gentleman you couldn't meet, I should add. I know there's hearty people out there scratching their head going, God almighty, Donegan, how do you come up with these questions and the way in which you ask them. I do genuinely apologise for that, but there's a lot of people listening who aren't of the hort industry, and it's try and maybe put it out a little bit in that sense. What does the future hold for Andrew Wilson?
Well, I've got to get back and see my wife and my children and my young dog. We've just got a young working Cocker Spaniel, Edward, who's fab, but needs a lot of attention. I've got to get back into the normal working life, which is writing college design work, answer all those emails. Longer term, we'll be going back to Singapore next year. The winner of the sort of Best in Show Award is invited back. So we've got to have some head scratching to try and find.
Best in Show as well?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
I just thought I'd drop that in. So you're invited back, and so we need to do a bit of head scratching because it was, even though I say so myself, a really spectacular design and a spectacular delivery of a garden. And I think, you know, we've somehow got to top that and hope that we get the same contractor again.
Well, Andrew mentioned head scratching. If you need somebody to travel with you, Andrew, to scratch your head at inopportune moments, I'll carry your suitcases. Yeah, I'm absolutely that man. I am indeed. I'm quite good at that. Andrew Wilson, it's been a genuine pleasure once again. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Peter. Time to thank our sponsors, Greensacks Compostable Bags for Home and Garden. Thanks to Katrina Redmond, who keeps us all checked up on the podcast and the blog. And if you want to reach us, we're at Sodshow on Twitter, info@sodshow.com. If you want to email us, back next Friday at 3 p.m. from myself, Brian Green, on behalf of Peter Donegan and the rest of the team. Take care. Have a great week. Bye-bye.